It's here. I guess you could argue that it's been here for a while. A few weeks ago, I was at Walmart shopping, and Halloween was over here, and Thanksgiving was over here, and Christmas was in the back corner. It's not in the back corner anymore, right? It's here. I know that there are some purists out there whose decorations stayed in boxes and in tubs and in attics until Friday. I'm not a purist. A few weeks ago, my daughter Julie was home, and she's the one that helps get things out of the attic, and so she helped me do that. My oldest daughter, Annie Grace, had her Christmas tree up on the 28th day of October. I said, Annie Grace. She said, Dad, it makes me happy. How can you argue with that, right? Our tree, or should I say trees, are up, and when it came down the attic, we went ahead and put them in the house, and Susie says, what's gotten into you? And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders. Truth is, for 2 years, I've been trying to make it up to Susie, because 2 Christmases ago, we moved at Christmas time. We moved on the 27th day of December, and we had plenty of boxes, but none of them were under the tree. All of them were in the U-Haul trailer, so I've been trying to live up and to help her ever since then to make up for that. The truth is, I love this time of the year. I love the lights and the music and the anticipation that's in the air, I love the Christmas traditions. You know, some people get that perfect family photograph, which is very hard to get, right? Some make cookies, some watch Christmas movies, some go to light displays. I've already been to the one at ASU Mountain Home. It's beautiful already. I've seen it. And Lockie, have you ever been to the Christmas display in Batesville? It's on steroids. And I think we drove through that 100 times when we lived in Batesville. As for me, my traditions, on Christmas Eve, my mom let me open one gift, right? One gift. Mom was famous for forgetting which gift was which under the tree. So I might get batteries or film. Y'all remember film? You just put it in the camera, right? And on Christmas morning, my dad would always open up the doors to the living room, and he would say, I believe Santa Claus has been here. I miss that. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as the song sings, but there's another side to it too. It's also one of the most stressful times of the year. There are Christmas lists to complete, dinners to prepare, parties to go to, and if we're not careful, we'll rush all the way through December, right? And get to the 26th and say, what happened? Where did it go? As we put all those decorations back in the tubs and back in the attic. I don't want us to do that. I don't want us to rush past this season. I want us to treasure it. Amy Grant sings a song that goes a little like this. I won't sing it. Why are y'all laughing? It goes like this. I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear the angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night. Isn't that great? I need some silent nights too, and some holy nights, and some midnight clears, a little peace right here. And so I put this sermon series together where we're thinking about what a simple Christmas might look like. Preachers worth their salt every year are going to tell you, slow down. Go to the manger scene. That's the most important thing. But we get distracted, don't we? There's so much to do. And so I'd like to invite you. You're going to hear this line over and over again this season. I want to invite you to enjoy a simple Christmas so that Jesus simply will change our lives. Amen? That's my hope for us. And what I want us to think about today, where I want us to start today, is with someone who's not actually in the manger scene. In fact, he comes several years before. His name is Zechariah, and his wife's name is Elizabeth. They're not at the manger scene, of course, but they are an important part of the history of the Christian faith. Elizabeth eventually gives birth to a son named John, who became known for what he did later on, which was to prepare the way of the Lord and baptize people in the River Jordan. He is Jesus' first cousin, and he prepares the way for him. I'd like for us to take a closer look. Zechariah and Elizabeth both come from priestly families, so it's in their blood, right? They are descendants of priests. Luke tells us that they were righteous, which means that they followed the commandments and the rules and the expectations of being religious in their day. Luke also tells us they didn't have any children. Elizabeth couldn't have children, and she and Zechariah were, as our lesson puts it, getting on up there in years. The order of priests that Zechariah belonged to had temple duty, and they drew lots to see who would get, whose turn it would be to go into the temple, to burn incense, and to pray. One priest had that ability and that gift. They cast lots, and guess what, choir? Guess who's chosen? Zechariah's. Probably not a coincidence. So he enters the temple, and he starts to pray. His prayers would have been twofold. He would have prayed for his people to be saved, and he would have prayed for God to send a Messiah to them for their salvation as well. As Zechariah begins his prayers, he senses that he's not alone. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever sensed that you weren't alone, that someone was around you? Zechariah was supposed to be in the temple all by himself. No one was supposed to be there. And then Luke gives us this line. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Luke tells us that when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. The Bible tells us that fear overwhelmed him. That's what happens when angels show up, right? I mean, if you will read your Bibles, you will see that the first word out of angels' mouths should always be, hey, do not be afraid, or fear not. The angel here is Gabriel, only one of two angels mentioned by name in the Bible. And Gabriel says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Now here's the question. Which prayer? The prayer where you would save my people? The prayer where you would send a Messiah? No, not those prayers. The ones you've been praying for days and months and years and decades. Your wife will bear a son, and you will name him John. Don't y'all think that's a good name? John. John. That's a good name. The name John means God is gracious. What a great name. John, right? Anyone else named John here today? Angels don't usually name children. But Gabriel names John, and he also says to Mary that you are to name your son Jesus, which means God saves. God is gracious. And that's what he's trying to tell Zechariah in our lesson, that he will have joy and gladness, and that many will rejoice and that John will be a light and a difference maker in the world. But Zechariah is having trouble believing all this. Had he not, as a priest, heard the story of Abraham and Sarah, how Isaac was born to them in their old age? He was having trouble believing it. And so he asked his question, "Hey, how will I know that this is so? I'm old. My wife is old. It's past that time." Gabriel doesn't like that. He says, "Listen, I'm Gabriel. I'm in the inner circle. God sent me to come down to tell you this good news. And because you doubted it, you won't be able to speak until all this comes to pass. And this," he says, "will come to pass." Choir, can you imagine it? You've been praying for a child your whole life. Child is on its way, and you can't say a word. You can't tell anybody. You can't even tell Elizabeth. And so he comes out of the temple, and the priests, his fellow priests, know that something has happened, but they don't know quite what it was. Now, why would I choose this guy? Why would I choose this lesson? I do so because I see three things in him that I want us to think about. Is that okay? Here's the first. First, there is fear. Is there not? There's fear. Zechariah is afraid when he sees the angel. I've been told that there are 366 times in the Bible where the words "do not be afraid" or "fear not" are used. That's one for every day in a leap year. You get an extra one in case you need it, right? Why would the Bible talk about fear so much? You know why? Because we're afraid. We're a fearful people. Amen? What about this Christmas season? What are we afraid of? We're planning this perfect Christmas celebration. The house will be perfect. The dinner will be perfect. No one will be disappointed. Everything will be great. Is anybody planning that Christmas? Are you fearful that it might happen? There's fear around the Christmas season. I know. I'm going to preach on Christmas Eve twice, at 5, and we're going to have an 11 o'clock service for anyone who'd like to come to that as well. I'm afraid of my sermon. There's a lot of pressure on Christmas Eve. Here's the second thing. There's doubt. One of our lessons says this: don't doubt an angel, right? Here's Zechariah. He has doubt. He has doubt. Gabriel comes to Mary a little later, same angel, and she wonders too how this will happen. And two or three chapters later, she's singing the Magnificat, right? And Zechariah can't speak. There's doubt. Doubt creeps into our lives, does it not? There are times that we doubt things. Sometimes you sit back there, I know, and you say, "Preacher, do you really believe that stuff that you're saying?" I do. I do. But doubt often creeps into our lives, and we wonder, really? Is all this true? Can a Savior really make that big a difference? Yes. So doubt is there too. And then finally, one more thing I see in this story. I see in Zechariah, I'd like to mention it to you. Zechariah, I think, firmly believes that life has passed him by. He has a great life as a priest, a long line in his family, a wonderful spouse in Elizabeth, but no son. He thinks that life is passed him by when the angel shows up. Now, I'm not suggesting those who are in their 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s should go buy a bassinet and diapers. But what I am saying today is that life has not passed you by, even when sometimes we feel like it has. The baby Jesus grows up. And one of his most powerful teachings for me is this one, where he says, I have come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. An abundant life. Life has not passed you by. Life is ours for the taking, I believe. We learn three things from Zechariah. We learn there's fear. We learn there's doubt. And we learn that there's hope. So I invite you to enjoy a simple Christmas. You're going to know this by the end of this sermon series, so that Jesus simply will change your life.